Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
It's time to nut up or shut up.
Damn right it is, Dan. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Mondays are off to a good start. Hope you had a great weekend.
Ooh.
Let's do day one check-in. Did the AC stay off yesterday?
Here we go, man. Here we go.
Did no. you go over? It's already over? You didn't even make it a day?
You know what's funny is the wife goes,
it's
well,
only 90.
Guess you get to tell your listeners that you're still AC guy. And I go, you turned it on, not me. But I'm enjoying this.
You got to do one of those, you got to get one of those like dad moves where you lock the box over it so you can't, nobody can touch the thermostat other than you. You got a little set of keys hanging from your belt. You're the only one who can adjust it.
Can I,
how quickly into the day was it? Like, was it like super early of like, God, right, turn the AC on, dad?
We turn it on Friday.
Yeah. Friday? It wasn't even that hot Friday.
Our house gets unreasonably warm, Andrew. What do you want from me?
Look, I'm only giving you a hard time because you pretended as if you could last a summer without air conditioning. As somebody who doesn't have in-house air conditioning, I looked at you like you were an alien.
I like to think that I can.
I don't think you can.
No? I guess we'll
you
never
are
know.
Warm-blooded. I walked in today. It was like 78 degrees
well, he
in
turned
here.
It on. He does it for
Jesus,
me.
Jesus, Brandon.
I do like it warm.
God.
I do love it warm. I'll be honest with you.
Smelled musky in here.
Yeah, did, yeah.
Get a window, man. Somebody get us a fan in here.
I'd like to believe that I could live a whole summer in the Northwest without AC, but you're probably right, but I guess we'll never know. So, you know, you're right, I'm right. We'll just have to kind of sit there.
Everybody's right. We're just going to sit here and reside in that territory.
Very random to tell you this, but do you know what I did Saturday night? Mm. I spent 39 and a half minutes. Yes, I clocked it.
39 and a half.
39 and a half minutes exploring the world and idea of me buying a bee box and getting bees.
Don't ever change, buddy. Don't ever change.
I've come up with names.
Where is this box going to go? We're going to have a box of bees in our backyard?
You don't.
Do you need to notify your neighbors if you have a box of bees in your backyard?
You do.
That's got to be a courtesy heads up,
it's a courtesy
right?
thing. But if you actually put the box in the right spot in my backyard, they're not going to get anywhere near. These bees don't fly way away.
They just hang in their box?
They go to their flowers, so the usual spots they're already at.
Yeah.
And then they come back to the box and use the pollinating and the honeys and the honeycombs
and the things
and the things
with
the queen and the things.
Are you a big honey guy?
I'm a big honey guy.
Big honey guy?
I put honey in a lot because I eat plain Greek yogurt, which is disgusting.
Horrible.
It's so awful.
So bad.
Here's the worst thing.
Don't bring it into work. Joe Fisher will steal it.
Oh, absolutely. He's a thief. I use plain Greek yogurt as a sour cream substitute now. And it's not great, but,
why?
You know, it works.
What's wrong with eating sour cream?
I get more protein from the plain Greek yogurt, and also sour cream is pretty fatty, so I just...
Oh, come on.
Anyways,
God,
we don't need to dive into that.
You're not doing yourself any favors here.
So I've come up with the names.
Yeah, for your bee box?
No, for my honey, because if I get a bee box, which the delightful Alicia Schroyer, our former coworker, she has bees.
I saw her bee boxes this weekend.
Don't you worry. We text, and I had a lot of questions.
An immediate reach out. How do you do the bee box thing?
So walk me through the queen. What did you do? Did you pimp her out? How did it all work? And she, you know, she explained how it all worked for me.
Now, do you got to put the suit on and go get the honey yourself?
Yeah.
You got to, like, cover up.
She gave me the bee box that she used, and it comes with the suit and the smoke
you got to spray them off.
Spray them, you know, kind of makes them dizzy.
I want nothing to do with that.
I'm in on it. I've been stung. It's okay. It doesn't really hurt that bad. So I'd love to produce my own honey. My dream goal is to continue to hosting this radio show while still being at the Happy Valley Saturday Market selling my honey in a jar. Wearing maybe just overalls, no shirt underneath.
Howdy, how you doing, folks?
You know,
this is honey fresh out of Damascus.
So here are my top three names of the honey if I jarred and sold my honey.
Okay, what do we got?
Taste my honey, and it'd have like a really sexy bee in a provocative pose.
We're talking like a bee in a bikini?
Like a female bee laying all the way on her her bent elbow arm, looking like super, like with a leg bent over, wearing like a bikini and super red lips.
If I saw that label, it would intrigue me.
Brandon's honey pot. Which, you know, Could also be me that in could a be sexy a million, pose.
That could be you. I think if you go Brandon's honeypot, you have to be the honeypot.
Just me in a Speedo.
It has to be you. And the Costanza picture. You need yes. you, the Costanza picture.
That's what I was thinking.
Growling at the camera.
Right.
Wearing boxer briefs.
And then the other one would be the money honey.
I think I go Brandon's honeypot.
Oh, really?
I think that's my top vote.
Brandon's honeypot?
I think Brandon's honeypot.
Just for the label?
Just for the label.
But if I gave you like a B.
The label scenarios.
If I gave you a B making it rain as my logo and it says money honey, I think you're, and it says local underneath, I think you're more inclined.
Is there another B stripping on a pole and the same graphic? Do I get a stripping B and a make it rain B?
Well, in this scenario, she'd be stripping on a honeycomb.
Yes. I'm okay with that.
But like it wouldn't be the most obvious stripping, but you'd be able to piece together.
You got
to
do what you got to do.
And the kids are asking what's going on there. They're like, well, the B has money. That's all this is. It's money honey.
The B's paying for college.
Right.
That's what yeah. the B's doing.
So this is my
get
dream.
Get your head out of the gutter.
If I can't make Sprague's mustard, I then want to pivot and either do Taste My Honey or Money Honey. Okay. Or Brandon's Honey Pot, you know? That's what I did for 39 and a half minutes Saturday night.
I love that this has become, and I'm horrible with this too. I just love that you're getting the reputation now on the show after the air conditioning rant, because you were motorcycle guy for a while and that never ended up happening.
I still am.
You wanted to be motorcycle guy.
These kids with these motorbikes you're make not me jealous your, every day.
You're not losing your dinosaur, and for that I will give you credit.
I had an 11-year-old
dreams.
On Sunday.
Little moped.
Go slow. Little electric bike that has like a fake dirt bike fender. He literally looked at us, because we're in the front yard, and he goes, and he starts doing like a wheelie. He's kind of a little chubby
These
kid.
Kids are out of control,
and I'm
man.
Like, dude, you're just in the middle of the
These
road. You're
30
miles an hour. You have no respect for the drivers on this road.
The scooters go so fast nowadays, too, that blows me away.
Jealous.
One of the kids in my neighborhood has one of those scooters, and he comes down. I swear he's going 30 miles an hour.
No, they do go 30 miles
Sans
an hour.
Sans helmet, and I'm just like, I'm that old now. I'm like, Jesus, dude, put on a helmet. Yelling out, you could seriously hurt yourself. What's the matter with you?
So I'm still into the motorcycle idea. my family's never going to let me buy one.
I just love that we've gone from motorcycle, not going to happen. Yeah. Air conditioning for the summer, certainly not going to happen. That will not happen.
Yeah.
And now we're on to make, we're a Honey Hive guy. Now this is going to be us. We're Honey Hive bros.
If I brought you a jar of money, honey, I think you get kind of excited.
Joe's saying you also wanted to get into archery. I don't remember that. Did you go on an archery rant? You had an archery vibe for a while?
Yeah, I had it, you know.
All right. Somebody said for his next trick, Spray's going to say he could finish an entire large pizza on his own.
That's my guy.
The funniest thing is I still have a ukulele, which I'm going to learn.
Sure you will.
And my wife saw the
My brother did that for a while. He got a guitar, and he pretended as if he was going to learn the guitar.
Guitar's too complicated.
I'm
too
pretty
big.
Sure he doesn't own it anymore.
I'm more of a ukulele man, as you can tell from my medium pizza days.
Yeah.
My wife has the ukulele on the bed. She goes, can you get rid of this damn thing? And I was like, whoa, where'd I get rid of it? I mean, I'm going to learn to play it.
You got to hold on to it for a while. I haven't given up hope yet.
I'm a man of many goals who doesn't accomplish almost any of them.
I feel like that's the way a lot of people live their adult lives, though. You know, you have your hopes and your dreams, and the next thing you know, other things get in the way, and you're like, oh, yeah, remember when I wanted to do that? That's not going to happen
the
anymore.
The joke's going to be on everybody else. When I'm playing my ukulele.
Bringing your honey in.
While the bees are producing the honey, yeah. I then jar my honey and I deliver it on my motorcycle.
That would be pretty
Still
cool.
Playing the ukulele.
Still playing the ukulele
because it'll be a self-driving motorcycle.
Tesla motorcycle.
Yeah, a Tesla
motorcycle. Why haven't they invented those yet? Why do we have self-driving cars but not motorcycles?
That seems incredibly dangerous.
So do cars. Have you ever driven one?
But at least the idea of getting in a car crash.
Yeah, you feel
with
safer.
An, you know, autonomous driver.
Yeah.
The motorcycle's like, what if it does screw up? You're dead. Oh, yeah, that's a flat out, it's over.
It's over, brother. That ain't going to age well for you. Well, good luck on the bees this summer. I'm glad you turned the AC on. I had it cranked yesterday. It felt fantastic. That was like first thing. Kid went down for a nap early. He didn't sleep much on Saturday. It was like an early nap yesterday. It wasn't even that hot. And I'm like, nap or get that thing going.
So you have an AC unit.
We have two window units, yeah.
Oh, the window units.
I mean, they're a bitch. You got to move them around. I can't stand them. But it gets the job. They're effective enough.
Can you add an AC to your house? Or is your house too old? Like
No, we could do it.
Okay.
You want to pay for it?
I'm at no company.
You do know people.
Tell them Sprague sent
you. They got a good discount for me?
You tell them Sprague sent you? I mean, you got to wait and see.
Does that come for free? I saw this late last week. Wanted to play it because I was curious of just kind of the reaction to it. So they had a big, in college football, there's this thing that goes on in the South where there's like a bunch of coaches that show up for a golf tournament.
Oh, I saw this. Nick Saban talked, he was at this event as well, and he talked about the whole NIL.
Saban
and,
stuff is just, God, can that guy shut up? I think he's a great analyst on TV.
He's becoming insufferable of the, lecturing everybody, and now he's like, oh, government needs to be involved. It's like, does it, or can you guys just be adults about this?
Would you have argued that there should have been a government restriction of how many five stars you could sign in Alabama 7 years ago when you were building super teams?
Him talking
and hoarding
about
all of the talent, and now there's a disparity.
Him talking about roster and money. Like, he was saying, like, oh, you know, places are spending $40 million, and it's like, Nick, I know you weren't spending 40, but like, we're really going to believe.
Stop it, dude.
Alabama Jones out here was getting every five star just because he was so awesome in the living room.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Now we need parity in the sport. But back when I signed the number one recruiting class year after year after year after year after year after year, Nick Saban wasn't saying, you know what you guys should do? Why don't two of you five stars go play for Florida? And why don't you two of you five stars go play for Illinois? Why don't one of you go to South Carolina? Let's spread the wealth a little bit here.
You know what's funny?
Socialist.
I view it the opposite. I view him as somebody that's talking about this because he's butthurt that the SEC no longer reigns supreme.
Uh-huh.
His beloved institution no longer is the slam dunk winner of all the five-star talent. He's going to win the Natty.
I was out when they gave Kalen DeBoer an extension. Did I miss that day?
I did miss that
day. They gave him a seven-year extension?
I told Brandon, because we talked about that, I was like, I thought when I found out that news, I thought it was going to be an easier out of the contract in case they fired him. They did the opposite.
They went all in.
If they fire him, they're paying 90% of whatever's left on the deal.
Nobody feels worse right now probably than the team of the shirt that I'm wearing right now, Nebraska fan doing to Matt Rhule what we all knew that they shouldn't do to Matt Rhule. And then them they're over under this year's like 6.5, and they are going to have to pay him $100 million if they want to fire him.
Hell no.
That's like crazy.
We all said at the time, you don't give him don't do it. Don't do it. Let him go to Penn State if he wants to go to Penn State. It's Matt Rhule. What has he done? But I think number two has to be Alabama, because if they go 8-4 next year, what does that fan base want?
This is a football nightmare.
I mean, Jesus. Anyways, that's a roundabout way to getting to this audio. So Lanning was there. I think it ended up getting cut short. I didn't see any interviews of Lanning, but he was down there playing in it too.
Yeah, it's a free round, and he's got SEC roots.
Yeah, dude, fly you down. He gets to go see some of his old buddies. Yeah. I can't remember. I think it's in Georgia, but I can't remember exactly where. But this I thought was interesting. So there's a talking point now in college football about the Big Ten has won, I don't know if you're aware of this, three consecutive national championships.
Oh, God, let's freak out because they've won three in a row. Oh, God forbid. What did the SEC win? 14 in a row?
Somewhere along
something
those.
Something insane.
It was they went on
eight
a run.
In a row, nine in a row?
I think until the
Florida State
national championship. It was a long run.
Get out of here.
And even when they didn't win it, it was like one Clemson year, and then, boom, here comes three more, you know, LSUs or whatever. So here's Kirby Smart. He was asked by the host, and I had shout out to Brandon for whittling this down, because it was the whole thing was interesting. If you want to go listen to the entire interview, I thought it was fascinating because it was kind of a light that you don't. Kirby's very open and honest about the way he talks about things. He's not very guarded. He's become kind of a voice for the sport, if you will. And so he's throwing theories out, and they're going back and forth. And here's Kirby Smart on the idea of the Big Ten being better than the SEC and how it has happened.
I just think they have a more competitive conference, like the top of their conference, there's four good teams. It used to be, Ohio State was good.
Yeah.
You know, like Michigan was really good. When Harbaugh had a great team. Indiana's good. Like, now they got Oregon. They got a draw. They have an ability to attract good players. Now, NIL has a factor, too, for sure. But so does Miami. I mean, so does Florida. I mean, people have money. More people have money.
That's right.
So I think the talent is spread out thin. Where before in the SEC, it was a magnet to talent.
The
disparity was so great that it was like you couldn't mess it up. You'd win regardless. And now it's like, okay, it's more even. It's just been three in a row.
And he went on to talk about, too, it's interesting because he's obviously been a part of a lot of really good teams, right? His first Georgia team had how many defensive guys drafted in the first round
the
or first title team,
DC's
right? And he talked about how, you know, he said some of those Alabama teams, the best ones that they had, I think he said 12, 13, and 15. He said if they were to play the best teams in the sport now, they would mop the floor with them. Because
I don't think he's wrong.
They were so much deeper.
And they had come back. They ran it back a lot.
Dude, they were so deep. And that his first Georgia national title team had six defensive guys in the first, whatever the crazy number was. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting just to hear him talk about that and how he goes into years now terrified of X, Y, and Z, and we're not going to be able to compete at the highest level because we're not deep enough here. We don't have enough talent here. And because he's comparing his rosters to the way that they used to look or the way that they did look when he was a D coordinator at Alabama. And then they've gone out and won the SEC the last 2 years. And he said it's been an adjustment for him to like change his mentality looking at his team and what they can or can't accomplish. He also went on to talk about how there's a lot of chatter in the SEC about how they don't have the same grind as the Big Ten because the SEC is deeper. And outside of the top four-ish, five-ish, however many you want to label in there, teams, you're not really getting pushed by teams that are near the bottom of your conference. And his argument and other SEC coaches were that they push you more in that conference. But he acknowledged that they've been lapped. He said he even sits back and thinks, are they have better coaches than us? Like, how have they won three in a row? Because that's in the face of all the SEC pride, and their pride's been hurt a little bit the last couple
of
years.
I do love, it's very refreshing to hear Kirby speak. I think he's incredibly honest and real and talking about the difference between what one conference is and the other one has been, I think is right. That being said, the only thing he doesn't talk about accurately and I think very honestly is his team driving cars. Other than that, I think he's really refreshing.
Other than those issues off the field?
Other than those issues.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this, based on just last year's standings, okay? And I know some of this is a little different at this point.
Yeah.
These seven coaches, and if you want to add eight because of the guy at eight, you can do that, okay? So if you want to add eight, Bielema, Jed Fish, Ference, Kyle Whittingham, Lincoln Riley, Dan Lanning, Ryan Day, Kurt Cignetti.
So top seven-ish
coaches. Those are seven, eight coaches,
of the Big Ten. Probably Big Ten standing-wise.
Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
Pete Golding.
Okay.
Kirby, Elko, DeBoer, Sark, Venables, and Vandy's coach. I'm blanking.
Clark Lee.
Like, that's the eight you speak of. And then Missouri, if you want to add Drinkwitz, you can do that.
Yeah, Drinkwitz.
But basically, when you comp it, like, I think this is kind of the point to me. I think some of these coaches in the SEC, DeBoer made the playoff and got a win, but so far that hasn't hit people the way people thought it might in the first 2 years, so wait and see. Mm-hmm. Sark made the playoff and then didn't make the playoff.
He made it twice, to be fair. They went in the final 4 year, lost to Washington, and then the next year they beat ASU and then lost to Ohio State.
No doubt, but like,
so he's been there twice, but I see
not
the
making it last year.
He hasn't
year.
Won a title yet.
Yeah, and they were preseason number one for everybody last year. And I know preseason's rankings don't mean anything.
They will be again this year.
Venables, I don't know like how long that shelf life's going to be because Oklahoma's kind of a weird program.
It was a nice step for them this year to get to the playoff, but yes, to your point,
I have no idea if Golding's good. Like,
no.
I think Kirby's right here, and I don't think the team is because of the coach. So Cignetti, Day, Lanning, and then let's see where Riley, Whittingham. You know, I think Iowa's always kind of has a max of a nine-win season, really, because it's Iowa and it's Ference. But I think he's right, man. The top end of the Big Ten is incredibly difficult, and if Riley gets USC in the right direction this year and gets to a playoff contending spot, and I know they were kind of close last year, and then Whittingham rights the ship at least and gets Michigan more into what they were pre-Schroenmoor scandal. Yeah, man, that's five teams deep at the top of your conference. It's hard to have that many teams be great.
Yeah.
But what we do is, and we're still doing this, by the way, because of that title run, for most of us as college football fans, we still every year go into it and we tell ourselves that the five at the top of the SEC are the best ones, despite what the Big Ten has done the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's no question, and you cannot argue against the idea that the Big Ten has the best teams in the sport right now, because when you win three straight national titles with three different schools, mind you, they got a bit of an NBA thing going on, right? Like, it's not an Alabama dynasty. Or even when the ACC broke through, I know Florida State had the one with Jimbo, and then they kind of went sideways. It was Clemson. It was Dabo, right? Like, it was one program that was kind of doing the heavy lifting.
Yep.
You had Michigan, whose head coach then left, and then it was Ohio State who finally broke through, and then it was maybe the greatest coaching job in the history of the sport that we've ever seen. So you've had three different teams do it. There's no doubting the top-end talent in the Big Ten and the national title contenders that they have. Like, I feel good about going into a lot of years looking at three or four teams atop the conference and saying you're some of the best in the sport. The one area that I will say I think SEC coaches are right, and I have felt this my 2 years watching Oregon in the Big Ten, I don't think that the gauntlet is what it is in the SEC. Like, I think both things can be fair. I think the SEC is the deeper conference in terms of teams that if I had to play them, they would put a little bit more of a scare into me, but they don't have the top-end talent necessarily that they've had.
So they're more gettable by the bottom tier versus the top of the Big Ten is never going to get got by the bottom of the Big Ten.
I'll just play this game in my head. And then a couple of the college ball notes I want to get to next. Like, how many of these teams do I look at and I'm like, Oregon playing Minnesota?
Right. You don't stand, Minnesota stands
no
chance.
Not that Minnesota can't beat you or there's not a world that it doesn't exist. Like,
but it largely is not
happening.
I'm not
scared going into the game, right? Yeah. Nebraska right now.
Yeah.
Illinois.
Yeah.
Like, there's just that middle tier, I think, has been the biggest question about the Big Ten. You hinted at it in the last segment.
Yep.
Which is it Michigan? Is it Iowa? Is it Washington? Is it finally Lincoln Riley? Like, who can take the jump from there into a legitimate contender?
Yep.
Is a big question about the conference. We also had some of the financial details come out around what the new schools in the Big Ten are making. And if anybody was wondering, was it the right idea? I will tell you, yes. The answer is yes. I'll give you some of those numbers, talk a little bit more college football. We'll get to the ponies at some point this hour, and then a legend in the sports world passing away. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan. Enjoyed a couple of these thoughts. Fan text line 503-864-6326. Sprague's business slogan could become Explore Brandon's Honey Hole.
Sprague's Honey Hole. I like that.
Sprague's Honey could be a good grief gift, people are saying.
A great grief.
Sorry you lost a parent. Here's a jar of honey. Does that make up for it?
Here's Sprague's Honey Hole.
What's the label for that one?
That's a great point.
It's definitely got to be me with my butt as the hive and the honeybee flying in clearly what is my backside, and I'm turning around smiling.
But like stinger out. It's got to have a stinger out. It's got to be a visible stinger there. Somebody said you could offer honey shots as samplers.
Dude, I'm in.
You want a honey shot?
You don't love honey?
You'd be the guy. I don't eat a lot of honey, no.
Really?
It's not that I'm anti-honey. It's a little too sticky for me. Sometimes it's more of a problem than I need to get into. Don't tell me you don't have that feeling. When you put honey on something and then like the knife gets too far down the jar and now it's on your fingers.
The knife?
Or like, well, however you spread, sometimes you spread honey on a toast. You don't use a knife. How do you get your honey out of the jar?
I usually have a squeeze bottle.
Oh, well, I home grow my honey, so I need a jar.
You do?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
But occasionally we have. I don't always have a squeeze
bottle. There's jars. There's definitely jars that I get. I usually am a spoon guy.
The only thing I ever eat with honey that I haven't made in a long time because I can't eat chili anymore because my stomach's too messed up is cornbread. Cornbread and honey is like undefeated.
Cornbread and honey is such a good duo.
Outside of that, I'll put some in like a tea every once in a while if I'm feeling sick.
Peanut butter and honey sandwich.
I'm not opposed to it. I just don't need it. I like peanut butter enough on its own.
Peanut butter banana honey sandwich is pretty elite. Yeah. Another thing with honey in any part. Parfait has to be in there, okay?
Do you think I'm eating a lot of parfaits over here?
Well,
do I look like a parfait kind of guy to you?
You do when you wear a black shirt.
I'm wearing a black shirt today.
Yeah, you are.
Do I look like a parfait guy?
That one's hugging your body pretty tightly.
There's not
a
lot of parfaits in my past or future.
Jeez, all right.
All right.
Sorry.
Brandon, big honey guy over there. You
like honey?
Yeah, I like honey. I like what you said about tea. I have to have honey in my tea. Otherwise, I can't drink it. It's just dirty water, as Ted Lasso would say.
What about honey on like a nice meat pizza?
A little pepperoni. Like a hot honey pizza? Like I've had that before.
What do you mean?
What's the matter with you?
Jalapeno, pepperoni, sausage, and then you drizzle a little honey on top? That's a thing.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not a thing. I'm just saying it's not a thing for me. Like, I get people that do that. It's kind of like pineapple on pizza. Like, I understand that's a thing. I'm just not. I'm out.
It's not a go-to, but it's definitely a nice change-up if you want to.
I'm just saying, like, if I got, like, a slice of ranch pizza, that's a delightful little Detroit-style pizza.
Yeah.
They got some good toppings. I drizzle a little honey on top. I'm in on the fancy pizza. Now, you're a fat ass. You do the me pizza, me crowd, me call, me eat. Like, that's you as a pizza eater. We're different. We have different vibes, man.
I like a big slice of cheese that I can fold in half, and that's all I need, with some red pepper flakes, and I'm good to go. I don't need anything more than that to make me happy.
Red pepper flakes with the honey actually perfect.
It fills my honey hole, man. We're talking about the SEC and the Big Ten in the
last
segment.
That's all after. Fill your honey hole.
You just got to fill your honey hole, dude. Find a way to satisfy
Sprague's
it.
Honey hole.
Take your hand and put it down your pants, huh?
So we're talking about Kirby Smart had comments about how the Big Ten has jumped the SEC. And he was very honest, open. It was a great back and forth. Next Round Live, by the way, was the show that took place on. It's an SEC football show down there in Alabama. This was also interesting. So this came out Friday after we were off the air. I believe Friday afternoon is when this came out. But we have the financial details of what the Big Ten has distributed. Let me tell you, brother.
We're in the bees, buddy.
It's a lot of money.
We are in the bees.
If you're looking for another reason of why the Big Ten has jumped to the SEC.
Speaking of the honey hole.
Allow me to present this evidence to you. Now, do you remember what the rumored Pac-12 deal was? A local reporter told us it was a done deal. The Pac-12
was going to done deal. It's same deal happen. As the Big 12.
40% chance to Seattle, and it's a done deal. The Pac-12 is not going to collapse. And it was going to be, what were we talking per year? Do you remember?
Wasn't it like
23, 25, somewhere in that range. Maybe you do a tiered thing where there's some that make a little bit more than others, but you're looking at a $25-ish million ballparking it to stay in the Pac-12.
Never going
to
get the new Pac-12 media deal, are we?
No, it'll never happen. This came out on Friday that with a half share, you know how much Oregon made their first year in the Big Ten? Or I guess this would have been last year.
I do know because I saw the story, but yeah.
$48 million.
Yeah, yeah.
As a half share.
Didn't they as a conference have to split like $1.2 billion?
It was actually $1.37 billion. Yeah. Averaged $72 million per school, and that is including Oregon and Washington taking the lesser share. Washington brought home less than Oregon because they didn't make the playoff that year. Ohio State in year one of the new media deal made $91.55 million.
Mm.
I'm going to repeat that. $91.55 million. Then it went Penn State. It was tiered. This was from 2 years ago. $88.9 million for Penn State. $81 million for Indiana. And then the next 13 members were 76-ish to $79 million. And then it was Oregon at 48 and Washington at 46. So even for the Huskies who didn't make the playoff, they still were damn near doubling whatever the reported deal was for the last year of the Pac-12. And this is why it was always a no-brainer. And when we're looking for reasons of why this has happened, like this, I remember doing this segment last year on Indiana, who seemed like such a Cinderella story. And in theory, they are based on their football history. You know how they're not a Cinderella financially?
Yeah.
Their operating budget when it came to football over the last 2 years, they spent as much money, if not more, than anybody in the entire sport, including on the roster. They spent a ton of money to bring in guys in the portal last year. And they have the money now. About, I mean, that was 2 years ago, $81 million. It's only going to go up this from whenever we find out the details from this year. And it just, this is the interesting conundrum that the SEC finds itself in, is that you now have, I think, schools with richer alumni bases in terms of donating for NIL reasons.
Oh, yeah.
And you also have a TV deal that, and this is, I look, people can feel however they want to feel about my program. This is the one that I will stand. What did Danny and Patrick do? They're 10 toes down. The fact that Oregon's only at $48 million is laughable. They've been one of the biggest draws in the conference over the last 2 years.
They won it the first year in.
Won it the first year in and went undefeated. They beat Ohio State in the regular season, and I get that their playoff failures have been their playoff failures. They are a national draw that generates eyeballs coast to coast, and this has, I think, been the biggest move that the Big Ten could have made, whereas the SEC went and got Texas and Oklahoma.
Yep.
And Texas has been good, and Oklahoma finally made the playoff this past year. But it didn't really get them outside of their original bubble. Those were already perceived. Texas was already kind of in our head perceived as an SEC territory because they already had A&M and Missouri in the conference.
I'd argue they made a mistake.
They're still in their footprint.
I still think it's – I know it may not financially look like it on paper, but –
it does compared to the Big Ten because this is not lapping, but this is significantly greater than what the SEC brought in.
Well, it's greater. And then also, like, the Big 12 media deal, what's that if Texas, Oklahoma don't bail?
Right.
Right? They're probably getting somewhere close-ish, and right. Guess what? Guess who's still reigning supreme in that conference? Them.
Them.
You're not getting Arizona State winning the conference.
No.
Who won it last year? The
Georgia's won it the last 2 years.
No. The Big 12.
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, thank you. Like, Texas Tech is going to...
That took much too long to think.
I know.
Wait, what? Well,
The way they played in the playoff game, I'm actually going to excuse myself for getting that.
That is true.
Texas Tech is at the forefront now because of their donations and the way the boosters are working for them. But, like, I still think it was a mistake for Texas and Oklahoma to bail.
Yeah.
And while it may have been a mistake so far for USC and UCLA, it's not been a mistake for Oregon, at least in football. It's maybe hurt other sports, but football is the one that matters the most. And to look at the financials given out here, it sucks that they still have to make all these ridiculous travels and they have to go to the East Coast. And, like, that stuff sucks.
Can I tell you a wild stat on that, by the way?
But they've only lost one game in 2 seasons of Big 12 play.
In Big 10 play, yes, which is wild. I saw this stat over the weekend because it's funny how we use the travel. Like, basketball gets this a lot. You'll never compete in men's basketball doing the Big 10 travel thing.
Yeah.
In 2 years now, Oregon has been in the Big 10. Their softball team has not lost a single series.
Well, your baseball team might be better off, too, because the Big Ten kind of
the Big Ten blows in baseball. So that's benefited them greatly, getting away from Oregon State and Arizona and, you know, some of the other powers that were previous. Arizona State had been historically UCLA. Yeah. Well, UCLA's still with them. But the softball one made me laugh of like, wait, I thought traveling was hard to do. They haven't lost a series in 2 years. They've lost games. They haven't lost a series in 2 years. So traveling doesn't impact softball, but it impacts basketball.
Well, also, the women's basketball team made the tournament this year.
Right.
It tends to be just men. And they were okay. Like, I don't know about this.
Travel, man, I'm gonna hang on to it. But yeah, just it was a good indicator of where they're at, where they're going financially. It makes a lot of sense for them. It's doubled their money from the last reported deal of what the rumored extension was for the Big Ten.
Yeah,
The Pac-12. I will say too, the SEC, because I was curious. I pulled up the number. The average per school in the SEC was 72, and the average in the Big averages ended up being slightly similar. But there's also more teams in the Big Ten. And when you consider the average with two teams in the Big Ten taking a half of a share, as in Oregon and Washington, that just tells you some of the gap. Like, you just got middle-of-the-road Big Ten teams that are making $10 million more than top-end SEC teams.
Is there any reason part of it. Washington, I saw somebody break down Dellinger's report that Washington made $2 million less. Is that just about?
So it's from 2 years ago, because this is from the fiscal year 24-25, and I think it's a playoff bonus for Oregon. If that makes sense.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because Oregon was in the playoff 2 years ago, and Washington was, that was year one under Jed Fish. Okay. So they weren't in there. So there's some financials for it of, that's why they made the move, and it makes a lot of sense. And the Big Ten's going to continue to pile up all this money. Being a coast-to-coast conference sucks for a lot of travel reasons, but it also brings in eyeballs from Los Angeles to Piscataway, New Jersey. And it's a unique thing that the SEC just doesn't have all kind of being in the same footprint.
You're not wrong. I also, you know, to kind of tie it back to the other local school, they're in a new conference this year, the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. We have still not gotten on a per year basis what the media rights deal is, which I just tell you, as you
not
know,
not feeling good.
It has to be terrible. The number would be out there. It's no different than Klievkov not giving us the media deal, but we'll see what that's going to be for them, because I don't think they're the biggest spender or top two spender in that new conference. I think that's Boise State and Colorado State.
Very well likely could be, and hopefully we get details on it at some point in the near future. Did we watch the ponies this weekend?
Oh.
For the first time in a long time, I actually found a way. Not found a way. I know how to watch it, but I actually was around my TV when the race happened. So what did we take away from the ponies? And then a legend passed away. We got some baseball stuff still to get to as well. We'll dive back into our poll question of the day as it pertains to Giannis and the Blazers and the offseason rumors that are running rampant. We are back after this. 105.1 F.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Fam, the fam.
Listener question. That's some good ones, too, on the poll question, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get back to that in the final hour. Somebody asked him, when does Oregon get a full share in the Big Ten? It's when the media deal comes to an end, which I believe the last year is 2030.
That's ridiculous.
Which is still good. I mean, look, the money's still better than what it would have been in the end of the Pac-12. If Oregon continues on this run, I'm going to yell about this every year. It's laughable.
We don't need to yell about it every year.
Penn State making $89 million. What are we doing here?
Purdue.
We beat them in the Big Ten title game?
Freaking Purdue makes more than you.
Who eliminated their coach and their program last year?
Exactly.
Like, just get out of here. Everybody should have to siphon $10 million off to give to us. By the way, another good point on the YouTube, that is that, kind of one of them randomly, too. All of the West Coast teams are doing some of the best recruiting in the new Big Ten, too. Have you seen what UCLA's doing with Bob Chesney?
I look.
They're scooping up four stars left and right.
I didn't know anything about Bob Chesney before the playoff game.
Old Bobby C. Not familiar with his game.
And my takeaway from the playoff game was Oregon literally didn't care, even though Lanning doesn't like his team to operate that way.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they gave up some points and some yards. I came away just like, how about this being a great moment for Bob Chesney? And I've noted, I know UCLA's been in a bad spot, but I like that hire a lot. And he is off to a fantastic start in recruiting.
They had a decent number of people at their spring game, too. Don't worry.
I think he's going to turn it around for them. I don't know what that means. I don't know what a win-loss turnaround for them looks like. But I think they're going to be a tough team in the next year or two, because I think that guy's a really good coach.
USC, the number one recruiting class last year. Washington is up their profile to a top 15-ish, 12-ish kind of recruiter. UCLA is off to a good start, and we know what Oregon's been capable of. So that's another good point about how the West Coast is kind of holding their own in that regard.
The conference, one, I wonder if it's opened more doors to people from around the country of like, oh, it's more accessible to watch my kid play because they're only going here and I don't have to go way out there all the time.
Helps a ton.
Two, I also think it drives internal pressure. So DeBoer was not recruiting very well, and I don't know if he would have turned it around at UW versus what he's done at Alabama, but Jed Fish is a big guy. Like, let's get some talent in here. He turned that, you know, around, and we've seen what that's
been. His recruiting class has been significantly better than the two. I mean, he's been there the same amount of time as DeBoer. They've been better than what DeBoer put together.
Lincoln feels like he's operating on the hot seat now going forward between now and whenever it ends, if it does end. Chesney is a, I won at this level, I can win at this level, prove it guy.
And the last guy who won at the level at his school is now the most talked about coach in the entire sport.
And we know what Dan Lanning's been. So yeah. I almost wonder if the conference profile has elevated and forced a lot of these coaches to say, yeah, we can't be doing what we're doing in the old Pac-12. Like, we have to keep up with the, like, you have to keep up with Ohio State.
Yes.
We got to keep up with Michigan. We got to keep up with, you know, Penn State when they're relevant. Like,
this is the point, though, of the Big Ten.
Your hand.
Without a doubt. This is also the point of the Big Ten, and then we'll get to the ponies here in a second. They needed these schools. Like, the Big Ten is the best conference in football because they've won three straight titles. That's just kind of the way the game works. The SEC didn't need Texas and Oklahoma.
No, I agree with your statement.
The Big Ten, you just started rattling off team names, and then after you get past Michigan, who, by the way, their last head coach just got, you know,
he got
that end for him.
Yep.
And Penn State just fired their coach.
I know.
So who do you go to after those three?
Well, you could tell I was reaching, couldn't you? You're like, then Penn State when they have the right coach.
You got to keep up with the,
The Mission of Minnesota.
The Purdue's of the world.
But the Ohio
State. That's
why
they needed these teams on the West Coast.
Well, now it's Indiana.
Now
right?
Indiana has uncertain. Yeah, they are unquestionably in that conversation.
And their profile is raised to the last 2 years, and we'll continue to monitor, see if it's continuing to go up.
Totally
but
true.
I just to Kirby's point, the mere pressure at the top of that conference. Lincoln Riley's not there to finish sixth.
No.
He's there to compete for national championships. That's why they gave him the contract they gave him.
Never won a playoff game.
Right. UW, make the jokes you want because they're a rival. They were in the national championship game a couple years ago. They got absolutely gutted, and I don't know if Jed Fish ever gives them over the hump, but, man, he's really restocked that roster pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think the top is so elite that it's forcing all of the hands, plus Dan Lanning and what he's done at Oregon, I think is also doing the reverse thing to the other Big Ten teams of like, damn, we can't stand to that standard. We got to get better.
No doubt about it. I think it's going to make jumping from that middle tier to the top tier difficult because it does seem like there's so much talent accumulated in those top three or four schools, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana.
Yep.
And we'll wait and see. Maybe somebody else has the ability to do it. I did watch the Washington spring game, by the way. I finally got to it. It was Friday night. I thought it was Saturday.
How'd it go?
I mean, it was fine. It was funny. I have to take my one moment to make fun of their program. They didn't boo DeMond, by the way. No boos. There might have been
murmur. Not going to.
They didn't do
it. Not until he has a bad game against a big team.
I did chuckle because we had a Husky fan text in on Friday. Was like, dude, if I was playing left tackle, I'd let the DN go on the first play. I sent him a message. I'm like, that's coming from a Husky fan. I did chuckle, though, because Jed Fish did a pregame interview, and he was like, you know, we're not going to be a circus like some of these other spring games. We're going to take it seriously. And then he let guest coaches come on and call a red card on a player and play a play 11 on 10, which led to a tight end throwing a pass on third down and getting intercepted.
This was after he said out loud, we're not going to have a circus?
Before the game, he's like, we're not going to be a circus. We're here to play football. We're going to take this seriously. And then there's, like, guest coaches calling trick plays and red cards on players. Like, what? Okay, what are we doing? You do whatever you want.
You want a fun spring game thing? If you could get the right waiver wires signed, give me Corey Dillon signing an okay.
To go play one more game.
Corey Dillon still bust a five-yard?
He definitely could.
You think so?
I bet Legends would want to do it. If you gave Marshawn Lynch the chance to go run a Cal spring game, you're telling me he would say no to that?
Would Cam Cleland pop an Achilles or run a clean seam?
Yes.
I have questions, man. Ross, how fast is he still?
He's 4'2". Is he playing now? I don't know. Is he in the Arena League? This happened over the weekend. I finally got a chance to watch it, and the call never disappoints in the race this year. I can't speak for other years. This year.
Oh, the tempo.
Pretty solid.
As they come to the last 16th of a mile, Denon Bourbon in front, both selling a huge long shot. Renegade and Golden Tempo are closing two. Here's Golden Tempo! Golden Tempo! And Shereen Demol make history in the Kentucky Derby!
Dude.
Great call.
First of all, the call is actually always great.
Always
it's great. There's never a year it's not great. This is debatably one of the biggest events I think any broadcaster could actually call.
It's quick. It's over in like 90 seconds. Dude. It's super fast. The other thought it's I have crazy. Watching it. Now, do you know what that guy's name is?
I don't, but okay. he's
always done the Derby. I think he does. I found it unique because so Tirico's hosting like the pregame coverage.
He does all the pre-race stuff.
And he's also obviously a massive play-by-play guy. He's the guy for NBC.
Yep.
And I just chuckled of like how many other sports operate that way?
Where the biggest name is
Mike Tirico is one of the biggest names in the sport, then tosses it to the other play-by-play guy. That was unique.
Well,
does any other sport operate that way? So maybe Olympics, too?
I think, is it Larry Colmus?
I'll take your word for it. I don't know.
Google AI is saying Larry Colmus. He's a legendary longtime race caller.
He's been doing it forever. I mean, you've heard that guy's voice for my entire life.
Now, here's the interesting question. So, I think Larry Colmus is great every year because I catch this race every year. It's like I skip the pre-race
festivities. I was glad that I found him, man. It was fun. And I had money on a horse that didn't end up winning, but it made watching. I was doing the Kramer thing in the living room, and Teddy Ballgame started to do it next to me. He was like,
oh, the,
he was like doing it. Right. Come on. He's like, come on, 11. Come on, 11.
Where did your horse finish? Where did it place?
Seventh or eighth.
All right. Yeah. No chance.
Didn't get out of the gates the way it needed to.
You know what it made me want to do? It made me want to go to a winery locally that does like Derby things where you have to dress up.
You want to wear the hat and the
and
suit?
There's a little bit of like, thing. I'm never going to Kentucky for this race, but I would love if I could go to like a local winery.
It would be fun to do.
That would be a lot of fun because you know that they do that.
Yeah. Have some money on a horse.
When it's an upsetting horse, there's a little more to that call. It's not that it's not a good call every year. 23-1 odds horse, and if you saw the overhead, this horse was second to dead last at the turn.
It was nuts.
It
came out of nowhere.
7 to 8 lengths worth to come back and end up winning that thing at the very end. That was an unbelievable finish to a race where you're like, where did the hell did that horse come from?
He came out of nowhere, man.
Came out of complete back. They already have posted a photo of him laying in hay, and people are like, damn, that horse is hungover.
That horse is hungover, and he's going to have a lot of fun in years to come. A
lot of sex. A lot of sex in that horse's future.
First ever female trainer, right? Did I get that right? First ever female trainer. That was a big deal. She was all over my TV.
Stud that thing out to the females.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I felt bad for the one horse. There was one horse who got tossed their rider right at the last second, and he couldn't even run. I'm like, dude, right before the race? Just crapped out.
Some of those horses get a little nippy.
Yeah, they did. They got a little nippy. It was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. I watched Kentucky Derby first time in a long time. My horse did not win. Neither did Dazzling Dame. But, you know, you got to keep taking your shots. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Let's get back into the rumor mill of the weekend and your thoughts on it because we got our poll question of the day up on that. We'll get to some baseball notes as well. Load a final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.